sex education was women are agents of the devil set on this world to trap us poor innocent boys. And when we're even having a bath, which none of us had in those days, we didn't have baths in those days, having a wash, we should never be completely unclothed, always something on us. One day I came home from school and my mother was talking to a friend up the road who was very heavily pregnant. And when she left, I said to my mother, "Is Mrs. Basil expecting a baby?" And she says, "You little dotty, how do you know those things? How dare you? When your father comes home." So I was 17 and a half or so at this time, you see. And when father came home, I heard a whisper up the hall and he gave me a thrashing.
Mind you, he had a girlfriend around this time. A friend of mine, Mary.
There was a ritual. A very clearly defined ritual. The boys didn't chase the girls. No, it was the other way around. If some girl fancied you, she didn't come up to you and say,
"I fancy you."
No. Her friend came up to you and said,
"Mary was asking for you."
Now, this was the really important phrase. The gateway to paradise. So, it was up to you to bump into the girl accidentally. Maybe carry her bag or something. And there's plenty of little lanes and byways where you brought your girl and snatched the occasional kiss.
When you and I are 17 and life and love are new, the world is just a mess. Okay, I haven't got a word for that. Neat smiling skies of blue. That golden ring when I was king and you, my wonderful queen. Do you recall when love was all and we were 17?
Back home in the country, I was getting to know some of the girls. But then they were all going away to America and England. Well, there were big families in every house. And a lot of them had to go. So you said, "We'll follow them."
I went to Manchester. I tried to find out where she was, and I found out she was gone to London. So that was it.
I had to get a husband. You know, I was getting on. I was 16 after all. You know, so it wasn't to have a career. It was to get married.
Did you hear the story about the girl who was coming over on the boat? And it was a very stormy crossing. And there she was, opening her handbag by the rail, and all her papers and the whole shebang lot fell out into the sea. So she came across here, and she didn't know what to do. All her papers and her reference and everything were gone. So she went to the priest, and the priest wrote out another reference for her. "Mary Murphy," he writes, "had a good character when she left Ireland, but she lost it coming over on the boat."
I remember how terrible I felt as my homeland faded out of view at 6 in the evening. And I arrived at Holyhead, and we had to have passports and visas one day. And I'm struggling with all the crowds. And the first English voice I ever heard was a policeman said, "Irish passports this way. If your passport has a harp on it, you're Irish." And young, as naive as I was, I knew I was being put down.
I didn't know for a long time. But I heard later that my mother cried for a week when I left.
I lost her forever. Come carry to the heathen's throne. The clouds are dry for Magdalene. And many a stream comes rushing down to swell the angry young abreeze. The moaning blast is sweeping past through many a leafless tree, and I'm alone, but she is gone. My Colleen is flown upon the tree.
Oh, Mary, this London's a wonderful sight, with the people all working by day and by night. They don't sow potatoes, nor barley, nor wheat, but there's gangs of them digging for gold in the street.
two things, two ambitions I had. I tell you both ambitions. A was to go at the windmill, and B, to get a copy of Lady Chatterley's Lover. I was down in Soho, and I saw in the window Lady Chatterley's Lover. So I said, I went in, looked around, I was open down everywhere, and I said, can I have a copy of me? A copy of what? I want to come around. I beg your pardon, that Lady Chatterley's Lover. So he did open gave it to me, and I sneaked out, looked around, and I went home furtively, and I opened the thing and read it very carefully. But it's the expurgated edition, you know. It's just the most boring book I've ever read.
There's beautiful girls here, but never mind. With beautiful shapes nature never designed, and lovely complexions are roses and frame. But O'Loughlin remarked with regard to the same.
I heard, of course, about the windmill. We knew in Dublin about the windmill, and just a den of iniquity, of course. When you went to one day, you were walking at the gates of hell. So I thought I'd chance my eternal salvation by going to the windmill, and the sight of girls on the stage, absolutely nude, I couldn't believe it. I went home sort of incredulous. It's a, you know, it's just a new world completely, kind of. It just doesn't happen in life. But that wasn't my dad, and Lady Chatterley's Lover were my two eye-openers for London.
The lady I went to work for, a Mrs. Salmon, she was very old, very quiet. Given a funny little attic room to sleep in. Little tiny chest of drawers beside of the room. Single bed, and a little mirror on top of the drawers. Nothing else. That night I was so lonely. I was lost, really. I cried and cried and cried. I didn't want to wake up. Tea trays ready, then down to lay the breakfast table while cook was seeing to the breakfast.
You wait at the table, then bring the dishes back. You'll then wash them up and the early morning tea things and the silver. Then you make the bed, see that the bathroom is cleaned, clean the silver, lay for lunch, and wait at lunch.
You didn't stay in the room the whole time. I didn't take any notice of you. Just let in a fly in the wall. Well, they spoke quite freely in front of you. Come St. Patrick's Day, there'd be the shamrock and a card from her mother. She missed me. That was heartbreaking. It used to be such a day at home, you know. It was awful sad to be in a strange country on your own. Sometimes I'd go out and talk to the Irish workers on the road. They'd be doing a lot of work on the side there. And then someone from the other side, well, she saw me and she told Mrs. Salmon,
"You are not to go outside while we are out.
On call all the time, so there wasn't any privacy." She was a woman who never gave you any praise. I used to sing at my work. My Aunt Jane, she took me in, she gave me tea at her wheaten, she gave me
cake. Stop that noise, please, I have a headache.
With sugar on the top and three black buns at her wee shop. I wasn't very happy there, but I thought I had to put up with it. I wasn't going back to Ireland. I wanted to make a new life for myself here. Well, it was a help when I found the church. I used to get up there once a week, Sunday morning, 7:30 Mass. If you gave up going to Mass, well, you'd nothing to grip on to at all.
1939 came, and there was wars and rumors of wars and all this, and clashes meeting and labor meeting, communist meetings, and were all over the place. What's his name? The Prime Minister went out to Germany and everything was settled again. And that was it. A couple of months after, anyways, war came. In 1939, and the sky was full of lead. Hitler marched for Poland and Pat for Holyhead. I went home. Oh, blimey. Everyone was going home. There were few down at Holyhead shouting, "Cowards, cowards." This was in the fall. It was about August 1949. I try to join the International Brigade to go out to Spain. And it was all Ryan and all them. So I tried to join them in Ireland, and I don't know, through my age or something, they reckon I was too young. And anyways, I said I'd go back to England again. Oh, it was altogether changed then. You couldn't get a job before that. After then, there was work all over, and there were every one of these firms were looking for men. And oh, in Wiltshire, they were doing this big tunnel. Oh, my God, it was an awful place. There's a big factory underground. And I worked, you know, with a pick and shovel and all that to cut out this big tunnel. It was all chalk. There was hundreds of men down there. This is very dangerous to work, and there used to be big falls of ceiling, you know. And there was an awful lot of people killed down there. Just killed, they didn't worry after. But then, when you were down there, you were exempt from the army, you know. Anyone working on the ground. But these foremen and all had their own friends there. And there was a queue up to get down there, to get exempt. So anyways, I was put up on top, and you were up on top maybe a couple of months when you got your calling up papers to join the army.
I danced the Siege of Ennis with Mary O'Reilly at the Irish Dance Hall. And that was it for me. I asked her out again for the next dance. And then I asked her if she had any boyfriends. I think she said she had, but she soon preferred me anyway.
Daughter of 9 years old. He told me he never wanted to get married again because he lost.